What's going on, Expression Church? I'm so glad you are still with us, man. Happy 4th of July. Listen, I just want to give a massive shout out right now to my mom and my dad. You see, earlier today in Kenya, which is 8 hours before, my brother preached at their church. And then me now, right now, preaching to our church. And my mom texted me, so proud, saying, my two sons preaching in two different continents. What a blessing that is. You see, this is a big deal for my parents because when we were younger, we veered away from Jesus. I mean, we were going hard after the world. And my parents were panicked and scared, like, man, what is going to happen to our kids? But you know, scripture teaches us that parents should train up their kids in the way they should go. And when they grow up, they will not depart from it. And this is testament right now that we did not depart from what we were taught. So if you're a parent right now watching this, I just want to encourage you, listen, do not give up on your kids. Continue to speak faith. Continue to declare who they will become. There is power in words. And this is what my parents did. And look at us now. So just a massive shout out to my parents. You did an amazing job. And thank you so much for instructing us. And now we're preaching in two different continents, declaring Jesus. What an amazing, amazing testimony to that. But this morning, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God wants to say. We are still in the series on decisions. And this morning, I just wanted to jump right into the Word of God in Acts 16, 6 to 10. We're reading in the Message Bible. If you have your Bible, turn to it. But if not, don't worry. They're about to throw it up there. The Bible says that they went to Phrygia. And then on through the region of Galatia. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province. This is the modern day Turkey. But the Holy Spirit blocked that route. So they went to Mysia and tried to go north to Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaport Troas. The Bible says in verse 9 that night Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream gave Paul his plan. We went to work and at once getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. Listen, twice Paul and his team desired to go to a certain region to preach Jesus. But twice, full of the Holy Spirit's influence, the Holy Spirit told Paul, no. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, I thank you so much for every person that's listening to this message. I thank you for the opportunity that is mine because this is an opportunity. Who am I, Father, that you would show me so much kindness and opportunity to preach your word to your people? I pray that those who are listening are being refreshed, God. The marriages are being strengthened. Homes are being brought to order, God. The breakthrough is taking place right now as they listen to this. I ask, King of Glory, God, that, Lord, you would visit every person listening to this word. The Lord, whatever this word was intended to do, that it will do in the name of Jesus. I pray for me who's communicating it. Anoint me, use me mightily, God, to bring this word and bring it big. I thank you, God, for fruit that's going to come out of this. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in Jesus' name. And you can say amen. It's just weird when nobody's out here except the Jacobsons. And so if you could just say amen on the chat, that would be awesome. But, you know, growing up, I was introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit through my dad. My dad would wake up early in the morning and he would start to pray. And he was loud too. And so he would pray. And in between the prayer, you would start hearing, ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, something's wrong with dad. He's having a seizure. Something is off. We need to go find out. And I remember my father explaining to me that he is speaking a heavenly language. And I was like, oh, okay. And said the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I was like, that's cool. But you see, when I was younger, I'm from a country that we have 42 tribes. In our family alone, we speak 3 languages. And my dad speaks 4. So I was like, all right, so God gave you a fifth one. That's good for you. But it never concerned me. But it wasn't until I was a teenager that I remember going to a church service, and they called it a revival service. And I remember getting there, and when we were having worship, this one guy starts hopping like a frog. And I was like, hold up. what is happening? I remember my friend leaning over and whispering, oh, he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I do not want anything to do with that. This feels like a cult. Take me out. Like, I don't want any. This is just way too weird. Everybody's wrong. People are yelling. I was like, I want nothing to do with this picture. But it wasn't later in my, when I was growing up, that a pastor came to a church and started explaining who the person of the Holy Spirit was. And he, it seemed like he was the best person ever. I mean, the Holy Spirit was helping people have certain fruits in their lives, the fruit of joy, of love, of peace, of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I was like, I want that. I want that patience. Because in Africa, there's so much traffic and you need every patience you can get. And this is what the Spirit of God was doing. Nothing weird about it. Then I started to read that the Holy Spirit possessed certain giftings that he was giving to all God's children according to his will. The gift of healing, prophecy, words of wisdom, the gift to perform like miracles. And I was like, that is what I want. I want to do that. In fact, I'd read in the Old Testament where God, the Holy Spirit would come upon like someone like Elisha, and he ran so fast, he outran the king's horses. I was like, this is some superhero stuff. I want that. Nothing weird about the Holy Spirit. Then I realized, all the weird things I'd observed happening and people saying they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit was just weird people being weird. And if you took the Holy Spirit out of the equation, homeboy would still have been weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. So in our text this morning, the Bible says, Paul, having a great idea, desired to go to a region and preach Jesus. And everything about this scripture sounds right. Like, this, in fact, is a God idea. Like, God is instructing him to go and preach Jesus, but yet the Holy Spirit stops him. It's like you who's listening right now, maybe you have a business idea and everything sounds perfect. Like, this is going to help my family. This is going to employ people. We're going to add something to the economy. This is amazing. Then you hear in your spirit something says, don't do it. I would be like, that's the devil. Get thee behind me, devil. I do not want to listen to this. This is from the word. This is the pits of hell trying to distract me from doing something that will profit my family. But yet the Spirit of God says to Paul, stop. And we see Paul does not hesitate. Then again, Paul tries to go to another region. Okay, we can't go here. Well, we'll try to go here. And yet again, the Spirit of God says no. It's like, what is happening? Now, you and I have the luxury of reading forward into this verse of scripture. We realize that the Holy Spirit had this massive plan in store for Paul. Paul wanted to go preach to certain cities, but the Spirit of God was like, no, homie, I want you to preach to a continent. And because of Paul listening to what God was saying, God opened a door so big he could not even begin to fathom. And I just want to pause here for a second. There's someone right now watching me. You feel like everything you are planning to do sounds right, feels right. In fact, others have come around you and says, bro, that's a great idea. But yet something in your spirit is telling you no. Would you just take a moment and just pause? Ask the Holy Spirit, is this you speaking to me? Because who knows? What you're trying to do may just affect a few people. And yet the plan of God for your life is to affect a nation. So take a moment, pause, and ask the Holy Spirit like Paul did. And you might just be winning a nation for Jesus. Now, it is evident that Paul needed the Holy Spirit to shape, to inform, and to help execute his decision-making. If you and I this morning are to be real with ourselves, we are about to make a lot of decisions in this coming season. There's so much turmoil happening in this nation, as Pastor Carl just said earlier. There's just so much indecisiveness. Like, now we've been told, now we have to close back in. Everything is shutting down again. Nobody knows what the plan is. There's so much uncertainty. There is violence taking place. There's prejudice happening to people of color, injustice in this nation. There is just so much going on. And on top of it, you have life. You have your family, you've got your kids, you got your wife, you got your business, you got your job, you got your health. All these things are asking for your attention and you need to make a decision. If there was ever a time that you needed heaven to intervene for your sake, now is the time. And Paul shows us that the Spirit of God is who helps us navigate through this.
Now, when you read the rest of the book of Acts, we see Paul highly influenced of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, every decision he is making is proving to be very positive. The miracles he's doing, man, it's like Jesus-like. Homeboy's talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, doing exactly what Jesus do, all because the Holy Spirit is upon him. Now, the question then becomes, can you and I walk in this way? Can you and I experience what Paul and all these men and women of faith have experienced in the Bible on a daily basis? Because, you see, I want to experience that. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and they get healed. I want to have words of knowledge to be able to speak to someone and encourage them. I want to have power to be able to do miraculous signs. Man, I want to walk on water. I really do. I want to go on a party and there's no wine. I got you. I got the Spirit of God in me. Jesus did it. I could do it too. I want this for my life. Because the truth of the matter is, the world needs this. The world needs the children of God to rise up and walk in the way that God has instructed us to walk. But to do so, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I want to ask a question. Is it fair for me to make this assumption that you and I, who call ourselves followers of Jesus, want to be just like Jesus? Anybody? All right, I got a few people in here, and this feels awkward, but if you are watching this, just write yes, yes, I want it, or no, because we need to know this. And if we don't know this, I need to stop this message and deal with that issue. If you don't want to be more like Jesus and you call yourself a follower of Christ, we have a problem if you don't want to pursue that. But I can safely assume, as children of God, as followers of Jesus, our ultimate desire is to look to act like Jesus. So who is this Holy Spirit? Because to do what he's asking us to do, we have to have him working in our lives. So who is the Holy Spirit? Scripture tells us that he is the third person of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. One God, one faith, one word, but three persons functioning in different ways. I know it sounds complicated, but this is why Scripture tells us that there's, in God, there's mysteries. There's things we cannot fathom, and I'm glad we cannot. Because if you and I could explain God, he is not God. There's things that we just don't know, and we just take what the Word says, and we believe it in faith. And the Scriptures tell us the Holy Spirit is God. We see all three of them in the beginning in Scripture. In Genesis 1, Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering around the surface. That's where the Spirit shows up. He's hovering around the dark surfaces. Later in verse 16 of the same chapter, God says, let us make human beings in our own image. Let us, so that they could look like us. Us here referring to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then later on in the New Testament, Jesus is about to get baptized. Jesus is present. He goes down. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and then God the Father affirms his identity. All three of them in the same place. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, I've heard that some people say the Holy Spirit is an it. But listen to what Jesus says in John 16, 13, verse 14. And this is on your screen right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. He, Jesus refers to him as a he. He is a person. And you and I need to see him as a person, because if we don't see him as a person, we cannot have a personal relationship with him. I'm going to say that again. You and I need to see the Holy Spirit as a person, because you and I need to have a personal relationship with him. So why do we need him? Because for you to really appreciate who he is, you've got to understand why you need him. Now, we've already said, and I hope in the chats y'all said, yes, do you want it to be an example of Jesus? In Luke 3, 21, 22, and this is also on your screen, Bible says, Now, one day when the crowds were being baptized, and this is the story I was talking about, Jesus getting baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. Let me pause there. I know you've watched in movies a dove coming down and everybody thinks the Holy Spirit was in the dove. That's not what the scripture is saying. Scripture is saying like a dove, not a dove was the Holy Spirit. It's like a dove. So forget what you watch in movies. He was like a dove in bodily form, came down upon Jesus, and then a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy." You see, up until this point, Jesus had done no preaching. He had performed no miracles except from the fact that he was morally perfect. But now he is ready to engage in a different part of his life. He's ready to go into ministry. And the Bible says from this point on, Jesus is spoken of as being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen to certain verses in Luke 4. In verse 1 says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led. Let me pause there for a second and ask you a question. What are you full of right now? Because whatever you are full of, you're going to be led by. If you're full of fear, you're going to be led by fear. If you're full of everything that the media is throwing at you, you will be led by that. If you're full of, oh my gosh, politics, guess what's going to lead you? That. And right now, as a child of the Most High God, as a child of Jesus, you need to walk full of the Word of God, of the things of God, and of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're full of that, guess what's going to lead you? That. Verse 14 says, the same chapter, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district." Again, Jesus himself saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover of sight to the blind, to see free those who are downtrodden." I'm trying to show you that Jesus himself is proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is what is allowing me the opportunity to do what I am doing." It is interesting to note, too, that up until this point, when the Spirit comes upon him, he's able to perform miracles. He's able to cast out devils. He's able to walk on water. He's able to raise people from the dead. All this happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Now, before y'all just go and say, "Fasting, but isn't Jesus God? He could do anything." Let me remind you what Philippians 2 says. Philippians 2 says, "Though he was God," referring to Jesus, "he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being." Jesus knew he was God, but he chose to give up his divine privilege so that he could bring you and I into privilege. Jesus knew, for me to walk this thing out, I have to do it as a human being. And because he is our example, he had to give up his divinity. And he walked this earth as a human being, and he knew, "I need the Holy Spirit so I could show you and I that to do this, you need him to empower you to do what God has called you to do." Even to the point where he was about to face the cross. Scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit helped him through this process so that he would humble his own will and take the will of the Father. And when he died, Hebrews 9 tells us that the same Holy Spirit raised him up to life. So why do we need him? Because he empowers you and I to do and to walk this life of faith as God intended it to do. Now, I used to think that the last command of Jesus was that, man, we need to go into all the world, preach, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what I was taught. In fact, it was drilled in me when I was growing up. You need to go. You need to preach Jesus. You need to tell the whole world, because this is the last commission. This was God's last word. So, man, when a dying man is about to, when a guy is about to go, the last word is like a big deal. So go. But it wasn't until I started reading Luke and the book of Acts. And in Luke 24:49, and this is up on your screen, listen to what Jesus says. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised.
but stay in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Stay. Wait. Before you go preaching, before you go casting out devils, before you go doing all these things that I've commissioned you to go do, I need you to wait. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. You see, it was never God's expectation that God would allow us to do what he has asked us to do without empowering us to do it. I'm going to say it again. It was never God's expectation that God's people carry out his principles being the word of God, without God empowering us to do it. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, hey, I need you to love your neighbors and pray for them. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm okay with loving my enemies. He said, love your enemies and pray for them. I'm okay with loving my enemies as long as I don't talk to them. If you're sitting back there, I don't love you. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me I love you. I love you. But now you're telling me that I need to pray that this dude succeeds, that you're telling me to pray that he does great in life when everything he does towards me hurts me. Okay, I need help. I need help. This needs intervention from heaven. Then Jesus again says, hey, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. All right, unless you're Superman, hold up, Superman doesn't even heal. Unless you have supernatural something, that is not possible. But yet Jesus tells us this is a command. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. How is that possible? Unless what he knew he was telling us to do required something else, the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to encourage you this morning is that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to do what God has called us to do. Now, how do we engage with this Holy Spirit? Now, I was taught when I was younger that when you received Jesus, you automatically received the Holy Spirit. But as I read earlier, we read that the disciples who were followers of Jesus were told to wait for the Spirit. So hold up. That's confusing. So if I got saved and Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was in me, why do I need the Holy Spirit again? And then Paul says, he was having a conversation with some new believers in Acts 19, 2 to 6. And this made me even more confused. But this is up on your screen. And this is what it says. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Like they didn't even know the Holy Spirit existed. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. Then John said, as soon as they heard these people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. These are believers, and yet they didn't even know that the Holy Spirit existed. So how is that possible? You see, we see this pattern happening all throughout Scripture. All throughout the New Testament, we see people getting saved. They receive Jesus into their lives. Then they get water baptized, something we practice here at Expression Church because we believe it's a fundamental part of your walk with Jesus. Then the third thing that happens, they would receive the Holy Spirit. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, who's the Holy Spirit, connects us to Jesus. He's the one who baptizes, uses the word baptism, which is a very Christianese word, but all it means, he makes us connected to Jesus. And he lives inside of us as a witness to God that we are children of God. So yes, when you get saved, there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. Then the next thing that happens is baptism, water baptism. What happens is, this is a symbol. Well, when you go down into the water, you're putting to death your old self. Because now you're a new person. You're a new creature. That's what Scripture tells us. And now you're new. And when you get up, you're saying, I'm new. I'm professing that I belong to Jesus. And the third thing that happens is now the Holy Spirit is brought over you. And he empowers you to live this new life. As I mentioned earlier, God's expectation for you and I was for you to never walk at this alone. It needs him, the baptism, the feeling of the Holy Spirit to help you walk it through. So yes, he dwells inside of you.
but you need him to come over you so he can empower you to do what God has called you to do. Now, this is every day. This is a practice I do all the time, because the Holy Spirit is not a power that we wield, that we can say, hey, do this, do that. We are not giving him a shopping list. He's a person, as I mentioned earlier, a person whose intention is to get into relationship with you. Before I do anything in my life, before I even walked up on stage, I just stood and I asked the Holy Spirit, fill me up. Because this filling up of the Holy Spirit continues over and over again. I want him to fill me up so I can communicate this message with great power and authority. I want this message to make a difference to you. Because if it doesn't make a difference, I'm just up here talking to a bunch of people. But my desire is that God would anoint me so that when I speak, something happens into your life. And he takes the Holy Spirit. In fact, before I even go home, I make it even practical. I pray. Because you know, I'm tired, man. I'm tired, and I know once I walk into my door, my daughter will have this massive smile, and she will beeline to me and just jump on me with expectation that we need to play. And Daddy is tired. So I ask the Holy Spirit, would you strengthen me so my family doesn't get my leftovers, but gets the very best of me? And this is what he does. He empowers me to do so. And I love our pastors here at Expression Church. They are an amazing couple. Pastor Ryan and Dana never do anything, make no decision up until they ask the Holy Spirit. In fact, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we spend 2 hours praying, inviting the Holy Spirit to come to help us make our decisions. Because we understand that where we need to go, we need help. And this is what the scripture calls the Holy Spirit, our helper. And if we're meant to make any decision concerning the church, we need his help to help us navigate through it. And I've even seen this happen in Pastor Ryan's house. One time he lost keys, and him and Jack are running around the house trying to find keys, and he just says, stop. Let's just pray that the Holy Spirit would show us where they are. And he closes his eyes and he prays, and just like that, the Holy Spirit brings to his memory something that he thought, oh, I think I put it here, and he checked and they were right there. This is something they live by. And because of it, my family trusts them as our leadership. That when I know they're saying, let's go this way, I believe, man, they have consulted the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is leading them to lead us into what they're calling us into. This is something we desire for you too. That the help that Jesus is saying that you need will empower you to do what God has called you to do. Now in verse 10, of the story we started, the Bible story of Paul, the Holy Spirit wanted Paul and his team to go to Troas. And the reason he wanted them to go there was to pick up a doctor by the name of Luke. And because of it, we have the gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts, which was written by this doctor, Luke. Now, Paul probably had no idea of the greatness of God's purpose. God wanted to give him a continent for Jesus. God wanted to give him a personal doctor, because the Bible tells us after this point, Paul gets beat up a lot. He gets beat up, thrown in jail, gets beat up, thrown outside the city, left for dead. Man, thank God he picked up a personal doctor who was there to tend to his wounds every time he needed it. Then the best part, Paul was the first missionary sent to the continent of Europe. Listen. When you get involved with the Holy Spirit, when you get into a relationship, an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, this is what you get invited into, an opportunity for God to guide and lead your decisions that will affect not only you, but the world around you. And I know you might be sitting here and saying, like, Faustin, I'm okay with the Holy Spirit. There's certain things I'm not okay with. Because the beauty about God, he never forces us to take anything he's giving it to us. It's freely given and freely received. And so you might be sitting there saying, I have a hesitation with speaking in tongues. Could I just say something? That you would be missing out on something so intimate, so special, because scripture tells us when you speak this heavenly language that your spirit is being strengthened, that your mind may not understand what you're saying, but something is happening in your spirit and it is strengthening it. And I know I need that, because there's days where the enemy kicks my behind and I'm so
tired and frustrated that everything in me wants to give up, but something in the inside of me tells me, man, you better get up. You better keep fighting. You better make one more step and you will see the breakthrough. That is my spirit that has been energized when I spend time talking in this heavenly language. You might be saying, oh, listen, I don't like the prophetic part. You might be missing out on something so beautiful, because scripture tells us the purpose of the prophetic is to encourage somebody else. Could you imagine walking into a room and God tells you about, you see that person right there? Man, they're lonely. Could you walk up to them and tell them how much you love, that God loves them, that I have created provision for them to make a breakthrough for them? Could you imagine what kind of interaction that will be for you and how excited this individual who thinks everything happening in his world is private, but yet there's a living God who loves his people so much that he's desiring to equip you with certain giftings that will encourage somebody else. So I want to encourage you. Would you invite the Holy Spirit in the inside of you and let him do things and work through you that will change your life forever? I love what it says in Acts 1:8, and this is my last scripture. Bible says in the New King James Version, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to notice that he says, you will be the witness. He's not saying that I will enable you to witness. I'm saying I will make you a witness. In other words, the Holy Spirit's desire is to make us to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, do exactly what Jesus did, that when you walk into a room, you don't have to say much. You just have to be present and the peace of God is all over you. And people are like, why are you not panicking, brother? The pandemic is everywhere, but you have the joy of the Lord inside your heart. You've got patience. You've got peace. You've got self-control. When you walk into a chaotic environment in your house, you bring peace with you. You are a witness for Jesus. And this is his intention for you and I. So this morning, as we get to this last song, I want you to take a moment. And scripture tells us the way we get baptized, we have this filling of the Holy Spirit to empower us, is by asking him. And then from that point on, engage with him. Talk to him. Listen to what he has to say. Spend time with him. Because his intention is to help you walk this life of faith with such vigor and such excitement and such purpose that it will not only change you, but change the world. So, Father, I thank you for every person that's listening to me. Holy Spirit, I ask, would you baptize every person who's willing to receive it? And God, would you fill them so much that their lives are overtaken by you? In fact, something that I've started asking the Holy Spirit every time I pray about this is not that, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. I've begun to pray, Holy Spirit, I want me to be more in you, that I'm giving you all of me. So God, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name.